Welcome to another edition of Always Right with Rochelle, the Right Now Coach. Today I'm delighted to be talking with Regina Leeds, the Zen Organizer. Regina Leeds has brought order to home and work environments across the United States since January of 1988. Currently based in Los Angeles, her clientele runs a gamut from movie stars to business people and housewives. Regina is the author of 5 books, including The Idiot's Guide to Decluttering, 1 Year to an Organized Life, and 1 Year to an Organized Work Life. Welcome, Regina.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, to start, tell me a little bit about your background. What did you do before you started organizing and writing about organizing? How did you get into this?
Well, I was actually an actress. That was my first profession.
Wow.
And one day I worked with Jonathan Winters, and we had a lot of downtime in the makeup room, and so we used to chat a lot about life. And one day he turned to me and he said, Regina, you have to make your neuroses pay. I'm crazy, and I make $1 million a year because of it.
Wow.
And that was, a remarkable thing to say to anybody. And for 10 years, I thought, what am I neurotic about that anybody would pay me for? And in January, it was 1988, it just came to me. I was watching somebody go up an escalator, of all things. And by the time this person got to the top of a very long escalator, I knew I'm neurotic about being organized, and I could turn that into a business. And, 21 years ago, it was an oddity. And people would ask me what I did for a living, and depending on where I was, I would either keep the acting or the organizing a secret, because they overlapped. And when I would tell people I was a professional organizer, they would look at me, and they didn't even know what it meant.
Wow.
So I've come a long way. And then about 10 years ago, I gave up acting, and I thought, well, I need a creative expression that goes beyond working one-on-one with people, and I started writing.
Wow.
And 1 Year to an Organized Work Life is actually my 6th book.
Oh, wow. I'm behind on your bio. I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. And I just started writing my 7th, which will be out in January 2010, and that's 1 Year to an Organized Financial Life.
Oh, that's
and,
great.
So it's been, what I have learned is that all creative energy, the expression of it is the same. So it really doesn't make any difference whether you're acting, writing, painting, singing, dancing. It's all the creative energy of the universe just moving through you, and that's been a great gift to understand that.
Wow. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about what the new book, 1 Year to an Organized Work Life, is about?
Well, in some ways it's a sequel to the one that came out last year, which was, I'm proud to say, a New York Times bestseller. When they called me to tell me it was a New York Times bestseller, I said, gee, now I have the lead line for my obit.
No, no.
1 Year to an Organized Life was all about organizing your home. There is one chapter on the home office, but basically it was having a perfect environment, I put that in quotes, from the time you wake up in the morning until you go to bed at night, your closet, your kitchen, your garage, whatever your environment includes.
Mm.
And it seemed logical to take the skills that people were learning during the course of that year and apply it to their work life. And so that's what this book is about. It's about the first month, excuse me, it's very dry today in Los Angeles. The first month is all about understanding what your true goals are. And also, Joseph Campbell said, as we all know, follow your bliss.
Yeah.
And everything will take care of itself. And so I ask people to see if they are, and then to find a way to incorporate the original professional loves of their life into their world. I don't want anybody, for instance, to be 55 and in corporate America and suddenly wake up and say, I really wanted to be a dancer, and then just leave their profession. But there are ways to incorporate your original love so that you have that in your life. And then I also teach the importance of you must have a calendar. It doesn't make any difference whether it's on the computer or the hard copy, but you must learn to manage your time. Then in February, I ask you to look at your physical office environment, because that's like getting your body ready for the day. And then in the 3rd month, ending out the first quarter of the year, what we look at is how to create a perfect file system. And then after that, you've become skillful in the ways of Zen organizing. And then the rest of the year is about, getting control of email and being more productive at meetings, learning how to get ready so you can take a vacation and your work won't fall behind. All those other things that one might, you know, keeping your resume tuned up. And I had no idea, of course, when I was writing the book that the economy was going to tank.
Yeah.
And now these skills are very important because being organized at work will help you be more productive. And that, in turn, will make you more valuable to your boss and less likely to lose your position. And if you're the boss, it sets you up to give your employees an example of this is how I want you to function at work. And if you don't have a job or you have lost it, it teaches you, now you can have an invaluable skill to offer your new employer, and you can also organize your quest for a new job. So I think it's more timely than I ever imagined it would be.
Yeah, and I found the book amazing for a couple of reasons. One, you cover so much. You know, I expected it kind of to just be like making your office orderly, but you're talking about managing email and managing time and how to network and dealing with difficult people. The second thing I thought was amazing about it is that you have all these kind of diverse topics, and you do the topics in such a systematic way. So I'm wondering if you can help a lot of the writers I work with who have difficulty managing multiple streams of information. And you do that so well in this book. Was there a system you used, or is there a system you can recommend for people to manage a lot of stuff?
You know, it really goes back to two things. And one of them is understanding something that I call the magic formula.
Mm.
The first 3 years that I organize people, when I teach a class, I always say, the first 3 years, the night before, I could not sleep. I tossed and turned. I always thought, tomorrow is the day that I meet somebody who will say, can you organize this? And I'm going to have to look at them and say, no, I don't have a clue. And after 3 years, I discovered it was all the same. What changed was what I was holding in my hand. One day it was, you know, hammers and nails in the garage, and the next day it was papers in an office, and the next day it was clothes in the closet, and it was all the same. And so the magic formula is to eliminate what you don't need, want, or use, even if it's just taking it out of the space you're organizing and taking it where it belongs. The second step is to keep everything that you do want to hold on to in categories, because that makes you very powerful. It gives you automatic quantity and quality control. You know what you have at any given time. You know when you have too much of something, when you need something. And then to organize. The final step is to organize your categories so that they are beautiful to look at, completely functional, and easy to maintain. And what I explain in the book is you start by doing that in your physical environment. But it's no different when you are organizing a project or trying to get control of your email. It's going to be those three steps. And the other thing that I talk about in the book that I knew was unusual, and I was hoping people would embrace it, and that is the concept that you're not just a different human being when you walk into your workspace, whether it's in corporate America or it's home. This is a holistic book. So if you would say to me, for instance, I'm always exhausted, I can't get up in the morning, it's very hard for me to deal with email, one of the things I would ask you is, do you get enough sleep? Do you eat adequate food that is healthy and feeds your brain, not junk? Do you drink enough water? And if you would say, yes, Regina, I do all of those things, I would suggest that you get a blood test to find out if you're anemic. There, you know, you are a holistic being. It is not just a magic transformation when you walk into your office. I'm very concerned with people getting exercise, and I start with the suggestion that it's 5 minutes a day. Walk around the block, go up and down the stairs, whatever it is, just 5 minutes, because that really gives you a fresh focus when you return to your desk. Exercise and water are just magic elements in the quest to get organized. They really are. So all of those things are important. And I also share the wonderful Zen proverb, the way a man does one thing is the way he does everything. Wow. So for, you know, when people, for instance, if you can never get a project in on time, or it's always rushing at the last minute, one of the things I wonder is that how you treat every aspect of your life? Are you always frazzled? What does that relate back to? Is that how your parents were? Was it how the parent you most identified with was? Were you given the message that the more difficult something is, the more invaluable your accomplishments are?
Hmm.
So, you know, and I'd like to see people unhook from that drama, because that will just, that'll just wear out your nervous system.
Yeah. Well, you talk in the book about procrastination and the dual fears of failure and success. I think this is something that a lot of writers deal with. And I'm wondering if you have any suggestion for writers who deal with these issues.
Well, again, it's an exploration of what went on in your past.
Mm.
Procrastination is an inability or a desire not to, a fear of making decisions. And what I say to people, look, decisions are where the power is. So you want to embrace the power. There are very few decisions in the course of a work life that will be life or death. So if you make a decision, you know, when I write a book, I will tell you, I work with Katie McHugh is my editor, and Katie's brilliant. And I would say when I turn in a manuscript, at least 30% of it gets bounced out. And then the process is my adding new information, and she'll move, you know, the book around. She'll see it in a better, different structure. I never once think, oh, my gosh, I'm a failure. Oh, why did I put that in? It's all part of the journey, and I think it's very important for writers to view it that way. You're on your way to the end result. Don't be afraid to take a little detour along the way. And I would also say it's really important to work with an editor. I meet a lot of new writers, and they'll say to me, oh, no, I don't work with an editor. And I think, you know what? One person, and one person only, should share your vision, help you shape that vision, and critique your work. If you show your work to 500 people, you're going to get 500 different opinions, and you won't know what you're doing
yeah.
or where you're going. And also, I mean, your mother may love you, but that doesn't mean your mother or your best friend or your father are great editors.
That is so true.
You know, and then fear of success is, gosh, if I... It's all subconscious, you know. We don't walk around consciously being aware of it. But if I write this book, if I write this article, it's really successful, this book will be demanded of me. And I don't know if I have the time for that. I can barely handle what
I'm losing you a little bit, Regina.
Oh, I've just moved. I've moved my body. Does that help?
Yep, you're perfect.
Okay. You know, it's an unconscious fear of, all right, if I write this article, my plate is already full. I've already got too much to do. Oh, my gosh, what's going to be asked of me now? How will I handle it?
Yeah.
Oh, somebody asked me to write this article. They think I can do it, but I know I'm going to fail. They won't like it. I'm afraid to turn it in. And it helps to go back in your life and figure out, where did those messages first get given to me? You know, you can also embrace positive messages, and my dad is no longer in a body, but I really want to give a shout-out to him. My father said to me all the time, you are smart. You can do anything. And I carry that with me like a mantra. Now, I will tell you that when I made the decision to become an actress, that was not what my father had in mind. And he went through a period of actually being ashamed of me. And there was a lot of pain in that. But when I changed professions, I always had his voice in the back of my mind. Wait a minute, I'm smart. I can do anything. All I have to do is apply myself. And the reason I share that is that was so powerful in my life. And someone out there listening, they may have had a parent who said something different. Oh, you're stupid. Oh, you can't be a writer. Oh, why would you think you're an artist? Some things like that. And you have to go back and realize that and say, gosh, that was probably your jealousy, your fear, your whatever. It doesn't belong to me. And just consciously let it go.
That's great. Well, one of the techniques that you talk about in the book is that you encourage readers not to check email or surf the net or do stuff like that first thing in the morning. That's something I tell my writing coaching clients, because I think, you know, you got to get your writing done before you start getting your brain all over the world. I'm wondering if there are some strategies you use to get your writing done in the midst of your busy life as a speaker and an organizer.
Well, when I'm working on a book, I generally write first thing in the morning, and I get up very early. It's so funny because I used to be a night person, and now I'm a morning person, and my best work gets done before noon. Now, I live right now in Los Angeles, but my team, you know, my editor, my agent, a lot of the journalists that I work with, they're all back in New York. So I will say, and I talk about it in the book, the first thing I do when I get up in the morning is peruse my email looking for messages from them. And while I'm looking for messages from them, I'm deleting what I know is either something that I'm not interested in, or, you know, I have a lot of friends who send me jokes, and that's great. On days when I can, I read them. Most of the time, I just delete them.
Yeah.
But after I do that, and I have my breakfast, I take my dog out, when I sit down to write, I do not open the email until I'm done.
Wow.
So, you know, the email thing, the voicemail thing, anything that's a communication from another person, what one has to lose is the fear of hurting somebody else's feelings and understanding that you can say no, and that you have to husband and control your output of energy. And just because somebody has contacted you doesn't mean they bumped to the head of the line. They have to wait their turn, just as if they were standing in front of you saying, can you do this for me? You have to prioritize. You know, if it's a day when I'm just sitting in my office and I have a casual article to write and it doesn't really make any difference what time of day I write it, then I'll take my emails as they come in because it's fun. But when I'm on point, if you will, and I know I have to write X number of pages every day in order to make my book deadline, my book comes first before any other relationships that I may have. It's my primary focus. And I give it the respect that it deserves. And that's what we have to do with projects. That's really what prioritizing is all about, understanding. I always say you succeed in direct proportion to the love and respect you give the projects you work on.
That's great. Now, as an organizer, what are some tips you'd give to writers about organizing their writing life?
Well, if you're working on multiple articles or multiple books or projects, whatever it might be, I think it's critically important for you to have a working file system and to have the material put away in file folders, so when you are working on that particular project, you can take out those folders. The material is divided by type. You know exactly where to put your fingers on, and it's available to you, rather than having it in piles all over the office or in piles on your desk. That visual alone will make it difficult to think clearly. I organized a writer once, and she just had these piles everywhere. She said, oh, these are all my current projects. And she had 12 deep file drawers.
Wow.
And I said, well, what's in your file drawers? And she said, I don't know, but they're all full. And it was all, without exception, the past. And I said, so what you have is a cemetery, and what you need is a file system. And that's what we created for her. There are projects, probably, if you haven't organized your files in a long time or tuned them up, you probably have things that need to be tossed, things that need to be shredded, and things that need to be archived. And your file system should be the place that you house information that's going to service you right now. And it takes some time. It takes an investment to set up a file system. I couldn't lie. That's why I spread it out over 4 weeks, so you're not
wow.
overwhelmed. But and you could also sit down and do it in one day if you're really devoted. But that expenditure saves you energy and time, and in the long run will help you be more productive. So it's a task well worth the doing and embracing.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I'm imagining that if you haven't opened your file drawer in a year, it's kind of like the outfit you haven't worn in a year. You should probably just get in there and start tossing.
Exactly. Great analogy.
So Do you have a final tip you'd like to leave with our listeners? It can be from anything, organizing, writing your book, whatever.
My final tip is to remember that, embrace the idea, to remember however you want to look at it. You came here on this earth to do something. The world is waiting for your contribution. And if you inhibit your productivity with a lack of organization, the world is bereft. The world is waiting for you. And that's the most important thing I can say. And organizing is a great tool to help you give the gift you came to share.
Wow, Regina, thank you so much. This has been wonderful.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
This has been another edition of Always Right with Rochelle, the Right Now Coach. You can find a link to Regina's website and her most recent book at my website, rightnowcoach.com. Thanks for tuning in, and remember to always write.